What ends America's economic expansion? Only war and politics, the president argued last night. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. President Trump last night led with the economy, but let's bring context to some statistics used. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer is in Washington. What did he say?
The president was eager to point out the economic growth that has taken place since he was elected.
In just over 2 years since the election, we have launched an unprecedented economic boom, a boom that has rarely been seen before.
Now, David, notice that President Trump cites the 2 years after the election. He takes credit for the economic growth that occurred during the last few months of the Obama administration. President Trump said, quote, "We have created 5.3 million new jobs." He's counting the number of jobs created since Election Day 2016, not since he took office in January of 2017.
The president specifically talked about the economy adding manufacturing jobs. What's the data?
We actually have a new analysis of manufacturing jobs out today from the New York Fed. It says the U.S. lost almost 6 million manufacturing jobs from 2000 to 2010 and has only gained back close to 1 million. And those job gains were not spread evenly across the country. The Fed says they were clustered in what it calls auto alley, a narrow corridor from Michigan to Alabama.
The president brought up unemployment and women.
That's right. The president said there are more women in the U.S. workforce than ever before. Now, David, it's true that unemployment for women has been falling since the end of the recession, but there are also more women today because the population is growing, and the number of women in the workforce has been increasing steadily since the 1980s.
Interesting. Nancy, thank you. Back to the long economic expansion, which began 8 years and 7 months ago as the U.S. economy started reviving from the depths of the financial collapse. President Trump put it this way last night.
An economic miracle is taking place in the United States, and the only thing that can stop it are foolish wars, politics, or ridiculous partisan investigations.
Economist Philip Swagel is a professor at the University of Maryland School of Public Policy and former senior Treasury Department official in the George W. Bush administration. Welcome.
Thanks, David. Good morning.
Phil, besides wars, the president said it's in large part politics that could pop the great American economic balloon. What is your sense, having served a Republican administration before, all the policy is now in place for greater expansion?
Well, we have a strong economy, and that's the question. Will it continue? You know, I agree with the president. A war could get in the way of continued growth, but it's a trade war, and it's a trade war the president has started. Now, that to me, that's one of his challenges, to bring that to a conclusion as quickly as possible so the U.S. economy can keep growing.
That may be on his team, the president's team. It may be on China. But also NAFTA has not been fully overhauled. Congress has to get involved in that one.
Yeah, to me, that's a big uncertainty for 2019, that the president has put forward a modestly changed NAFTA that he's calling the USMCA, and Congress is balking at it. If Congress rejects his new NAFTA, will he withdraw from the old NAFTA? And that would have a devastating effect on the U.S. economy and the economies of Canada and Mexico. And so that's a big risk, I think, for 2019.
And back to the president's point that politics could be a drag on the economy if we don't get it right. I mean, there is the potential for another partial federal government shutdown.
That's right. I mean, to me, the political uncertainty, again, is putting a damper on the economy. We've had a strong economy in 2018, and what could make businesses and families pause on their spending plans this year? It would be another shutdown. It would be more political uncertainty coming out of Washington.
The University of Maryland's Philip Swagel is an economist who served at the Treasury Department under George W. Bush. Professor, thank you.
Thank you.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
A quarter, 13 million Americans living in poverty do not get public assistance, such as food stamps, subsidized housing, child care, or cash benefits. This is from data analyzed by the Urban Institute. Marketplace's Erica Barris reports.
One reason why some of the poorest Americans don't use the social safety net, James Ziliak at the University of Kentucky says it's because the federal programs aren't always there when people need them.
When the budget runs out, the budget runs out. And therefore, you know, even though you are eligible, you may not qualify for benefits because there is not resources available for you to qualify.
And applying to safety net programs can require meetings with caseworkers, traveling to appointments, filling out difficult documents, things that Evelyn Brodkin at the University of Chicago says some people aren't equipped to do.
You need time. You need knowledge. It helps to have access to internet. All of these things, among the most disadvantaged, are in the least supply.
The Urban Institute report found regional differences. Low-income people in Utah are the least likely to get assistance from the social safety net. Those in Washington, D.C. are the most likely to. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
The head of the European Council today declared there would be no new offer from the Europeans to ease Britain's exit from that union. Donald Tusk said today that people who promoted Brexit without an understanding of how to safely do it will learn what a, quote, special place in hell looks like. A leading Brexit campaigner, Nigel Farage, later responded, sounds like heaven, a Britain free of, quote, arrogant bullies like Tusk. The UK deadline for a plan, some plan, is next month. It's the Marketplace Morning Report from APM. American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.